Oh, hey, mom bitches. Today we are diving into the world of children's television in the explosive new docuseries Quiet on Set. It is such an eye-opening documentary and it has sparked so much conversation and controversy around the dark side of children's TV. There have been so many shocking allegations and actual charges of abuse and misconduct when they were filming a lot of these Nickelodeon shows when we were younger. And it is America's most beloved show. So it has just been so eye-opening, whether it was inappropriate jokes, volatile behavior on set. We're unpacking all of this disturbing revelations and bringing to light all of the takeaways, including how we can protect our children. It is our job as parents to protect our children from exposure and harmful media and content. So grab your headphones, settle in, let's get started on this important conversation. Women need to empower women, and our voice matters.
Bitch.
Welcome to the Mom Bitch Podcast. Hey guys.
Hey.
Did you notice that new intro? We decided that we are not good at simultaneously speaking.
It will never be in
So we will never be in sync. We don't have that
sync.
vibe personally. So, have a new recorded intro, and I love it. We did
I
it
love it too.
ourselves.
We sure did. You
Yeah.
did
I mean, you echo your batch in the
it.
background. That's all we need. We have the best episode today because we are going to be talking about Quiet on Set, the Nickelodeon documentary. Cammy, how did you feel? Because we haven't talked about it.
We
Like, we've
haven't.
saved it for this.
I
Like,
know.
how did you feel?
I mean, as I kept watching it got worse and worse. And by the last episode, I mean, I felt sick to my stomach. I'm not gonna lie.
I feel like I had to take a lot of notes because it's like one of those docuseries where you purposely try to not remember a lot of the content that you just watched because it was absolutely disgusting. Let's just get into it. So I think the overarching part of this docuseries is about Dan Schneider because he was the producer of all of these popular TV shows. I had no idea that he was so responsible for so many of those episodes.
I had no idea who he was. I do remember as a kid seeing this random dude in the hot tub with Amanda Bynes. I remember that shit. And I was like, this is weird.
It's weird you say that because when I saw that flashback, I'm like, do I actually remember it? It felt familiar. And I was like, do I remember it? Or am I just having one of those moments where I think I remember it, but I don't? But it seemed really familiar with me too.
I remember like talking to my sister about it. I'm like, this like, it's kind of weird. Like, why is the grown man in the
Clothed
pool? Yeah, clothed
with like
with
a
a
child
bikini,
in a
teeny
bikini.
bopper. It was freaking weird. And
Yeah.
now seeing it now, it's just kind of like, okay, 100% inappropriate. What were those people thinking? Like, what were the producers thinking?
Yeah. And like, here's the thing is we saw it on TV, but think of all of the employees, and they go into it in the pod, or they go into it in the docuseries, like all of the employees that worked under that leadership. They all said that they were discriminated against or they were made to do just like the most unruly, uncomfortable things that would never be tolerated in the workplace today.
Nowadays, hell no. All the sexuality, the harassment, the bullying, especially when those women talked about it, I 100% like believed it.
Oh, 100%.
And it makes you really appreciate it. And they threw a highlight to the Me Too movement towards the end of it. And for all the women that came forward, it really made a difference. And without that movement, a lot of the things that they did change would never have changed.
Yeah. Like it's absolutely sad to see that, I don't remember her name, but one of them at least, one of the writers, basically lost her career because of Nickelodeon, whether she didn't want to come back or because she was iced out because she wasn't like following whatever status quo they defined for her.
Not to mention when they made them split their salary. I was so over it. I could not believe that. That was so slimy. No one else. It was actually illegal. Didn't she say like it was against the Writers Guild or something like that?
Yeah, they had like escalated it up and said, is this real? And they were like, no, this isn't a rule.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the first couple episodes when they focused on Dan Schneider, all I could think about was if this was my child. You know, like they showed clips of like Ariana Grande. They showed clips of the Vines. And you start to see that like these could be definitely taken very sexually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Ariana Grande one.
And it would definitely, I am by no means surprised that they ended up having the creeps on set that we're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Because, hello.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like, speaks for itself.
There is a dark side to Hollywood, so I'm honestly not surprised. So, you know, that's probably a high percentage of creeps probably work in Hollywood.
Here's my question for you. So it kind of goes into our next piece. Like, child actors, they're asked to perform really risky material. And whether it's just part of the episode or if it's dares, whatever it was, one thing that I am still confused about, and I know that Dan Schneider went on, his name was Tebow on iCarly. It's an old child actor actually interviewed Dan Schneider after this documentary. And it made me question even more, but I was questioning it when I was watching it.
Yeah.
But Dan Schneider had said, I wasn't the only person in the room. Like, these scripts were approved by his bosses, their bosses, higher up.
Right.
And the parents and just the set. There were a lot of people that were present during filming and allowed that and didn't push back on that.
But
and
it's
it
like,
made me think, if it was my child, right? Like, ugh, I'd be off the set.
But the amount of gaslighting, and that's what they really highlight. There was so much gaslighting that it makes you be like, am I the problem?
That's right. They had that mom come on and she was like too scared.
And they fired him. And
you're right. You know,
and then when the Drake's father came forward, oh, you're a homophobic bitch. So, you know, they turn it on the victims. And they make it,
and
that happens to a lot of victims, a lot of victim blaming, and they make, you know, they make it feel like it's all you. So there were people who tried, but, you know, they did not prevail.
They weren't able to prevail. And it seems like you're like literally going up against a king. I guess that answers my question, because I thought about that. I'm like, I mean, he's got a point. Like, people are there. But yeah, I mean, if you want your child to succeed, or
yeah. The
child might even like downplay things happening because they don't want to feel like they're missing out. And like that one guy, he still has mental health issues because he feels like he never got his break because of Nickelodeon. So that actually answers a really good question.
It also put adult concerns on children. Yes. One of them said, I felt responsible for, you know, providing for my family and stuff. They weren't going to mess up their break. They weren't, you know, and so then it was a very special environment that allowed this to breed.
Yeah. Okay. Jason Handy. Described himself as a full-blown pedophile. Worked on set with these children. And yes, this was under Dan Schneider and it was under Nickelodeon, but we can't put blame necessarily on them for this person. But how do you not see the innuendos? Like, what was your take on that?
I think the thing that struck me the most was when he wrote in one of the girls on All That in her little book, and he said, you're, you know, a godly woman, keep God close, he'll keep you. I mean, that level of manipulation, he was that good. I mean, that's scary.
And he looked like a very down-to-earth, almost like a Freddie Prinze Jr. He was like a good-looking guy, like typical narcissist. But this is tough for me to say. It was really hard. Do you remember there was like an extra that was on set, and she wasn't on the documentary, but her mother was.
Oh yeah, the brand.
And yeah, mm-hmm. and he had sent a picture of himself mm-hmm. to her, mm-hmm. and the mom saw it.
Yeah,
and the mom did nothing about it. Mm-hmm. I can't get behind that. I know I shouldn't say that because I wasn't in the position.
Right.
But like, I'm a firecracker. Like, if I saw anything like that, I'd be knocking down those doors. Yeah. Like, how did you feel about that? Like,
so
it's so controversial. I know I shouldn't ask it, but
I couldn't really judge her for it because I don't know what she experienced in life. Maybe she saw someone's kids taken away from them because they reported abuse. I don't know.
You know what? That's a good point to look at these type of docuseries from multiple lenses.
Yeah.
Which is why we created this podcast. They have different perspectives because you're right. And I think she even said it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She was scared that it mm-hmm. would come back on her.
Yeah.
And who knows what it was like in the 90s, early 2000s, you know, like in a situation like that.
And then you start to think, if you have anxiety, you're like, are they really going to believe me? You know, it's my word against his. What if he's a liar? What if he's a good liar? What if my kid gets taken away from me? It's better to just zip it. And I can't say that
you can empathize. 100%,
yeah. Blame
you
her.
You can empathize.
I mean, I kind of get it. Yeah.
I mean, he was just like self-explanatory. Like, that's just disgusting. Hopefully he's serving his time and just gross. Going back to Schneider, though, what I find to be interesting about all of this is that, and it kind of leads me into Drake Bell.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that obviously Dan Schneider was an issue. I'm sure if he didn't see it then, he sees it now, right? Mm-hmm, like, let's give the guy the benefit of the doubt. He wasn't arrested for anything truly outruly.
Right, right.
But it's interesting that women in particular found him to be off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the cast didn't, or they at least haven't come out to say that they had a bad experience. And who I mean is Amanda Bynes. Like,
I mean, we already know she had a bad experience. Look at how her life has
you think that ordered. Had to do with it?
Something happened. I mean, I don't know her personally, but like, I mean, she's on path with, you know, Drake Bell and Lindsay Lohan, and they all just kind of lost their marbles.
Mm-hmm. Went off the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think her story is sad for me because I feel like, you know, I grew up with her and I see her now and, you know, it really makes you wonder, you know, and even to be at an age where you'd want to emancipate your parents, I imagine can't be hard.
Mm-hmm.
That one's a tough one. Like, I feel like I don't have enough information for the documentary. She hasn't come out and said anything.
I feel like that speaks volumes.
But also, too, she hasn't said anything, and they make it seem like she had a very appropriate relationship with this guy. So that's kind of like the cliffhanger. That's like the TBD. Will that ever come out? Will there ever be anything more, or is that just tight-lipped and everyone's moved on?
It's weird. I mean, they said that she would massage him on set.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Like, he wanted that from everyone.
Mm-hmm. And then from her especially, like, no.
Yeah.
And everyone just kind of watched it. I don't know, like.
And what's interesting is he was young, right, during all of this. He had to have been in his, like, 20s, 30s, right? Like, he wasn't. It was just bizarre. Maybe it was kind of like the quasi older brother. He was trying to give off like that friendly vibe of like, hey, I'm cool. I'm the older guy, but I'm not that much older than you. Because it's not like he was like 50 years old. Like, he was young too.
I don't know. I feel like he's a little bit psycho. I feel like he's a little bit diabolical. I think that he did these things because he secretly enjoyed it. He liked putting boys in spandex to laugh at them later on, you know, laugh at their discomfort. That's kind of how I took it, because I mean, I remember watching all that. I remember watching the Amanda show, and I remember my sisters and I would talk about it and be like, this isn't really funny. Like, why is this funny? Like, why is this guy have a big nose? Why is there like always some kind of like goo substance? And like, but I never remember really laughing, but I watched it because it was like, you know, pop culture for our age. But I think that, you know, and then the fear factor shit that he made them do. I think that it was all, like I said, I think it was all malicious, and I think he got enjoyment from it.
I wasn't allowed to watch all that.
Mm.
So, like, just in case there's anyone listening that didn't watch all that, like, what was the premise of the show? I still don't know. I still feel like I'm a 10-year-old where my mom's like, you are not allowed to watch it. I never have seen an episode of all that. I know, like, kind of the beginning of it, and I knew it was, like, Kenan and Kel?
Like, yeah.
All of those people, you know, stemmed from the show or, mm-hmm. you know, eventually had their own show after that. But, like, was it just a bunch of teenagers like doing silly stuff, kind of like the Amoeba show?
Yeah, it was just skits, random skits. They would have a reoccurring theme or character sometimes. So like when you saw them, you'd be like, oh, I know what they're going to do. But it was always like stupid stuff.
So like a children's SNL?
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
But it wasn't really funny. Like I never thought it was funny.
I've always never really understood Nickelodeon humor.
Yeah.
Like
do you think SpongeBob is funny?
I think that was like my sister's generation. Like I don't.
Yeah.
My parents kept me on like Canadian public television. Like I remember reading Rainbow. Yeah. I remember Lamb Chop Sing Along.
Yeah.
Eureka's Castle. I think I was allowed to watch on Nickelodeon.
You watched, but the educational shit.
My mom really had me on the educational, like there was like a mannequin that came to life. Like there was also like, obviously like Mr. Rogers, things like that. Mm-hmm. But like when it came to
trash TV, you were not
trash TV. Not I think
yeah.
I was at max allowed to watch TGIF, but Nickelodeon was kind of off limits and they wouldn't pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's before social media, so you wouldn't really be able to get to it unless you were at a friend's house.
Oh yeah.
So some of this stuff, it was like the first time me seeing, like the like Drake Bell, for example, like that was mm-hmm. my sister's generation. But I watched it with my brother-in-law, and my brother-in-law viscerally remembers it because that was like circa like 1992 and let's talk about Drake Bell because I still. Confused because he got accused.
Let's highlight let's highlight some things here that go against the status quo of a victim, right? Usually it's a woman or a child or girl, right? We think girl, we think like under 12, right? Mm-hmm. This was a 15-year-old boy, man, teenager, whatever you want to call him, and mm-hmm. he was repeatedly violently molested. Okay, that if that doesn't scare you as a parent to your core, I don't know what it's going to take, because when you become like a victim, you just he felt, and this is what he said, he was like, I felt stuck. There was nothing I could do, and he just kept getting abused over and over and over again, and I mean, my stomach was in knots. But it just it shows, you know, no one is safe, right? No kid is safe. And you have to be
no kids say
diligent.
And he had a dad that could see through it.
Oh, he saw it.
And he couldn't do anything about it. He was manipulated out of the situation.
That is
right. When a kid's 15 years old, they start to make decisions for themselves. It can be difficult. Mm-hmm. Like to have a child that's very like hard strung, mixed in. I imagine like we can't even compare most children's lives to theirs because they're, you know, with adults 24/7. So for them to be with an adult is normal,
right?
Rather than like an average 15-year-old to be hanging out with like their adult neighbors next door. It watching his dad, is his dad's name Brian? I can't remember, but
I don't remember
his dad on the episode where he realized that it was Drake, right? Because Drake didn't come out publicly for quite some time. Broke me. It broke me. Parents know best.
He knew. Apparently, the trolls of the internet came for his mother and he defended her. I didn't read all the circumstances, but he said it was, you know, she wasn't like she was negligent. It was just different. I guess she worked, I don't know, worked full time or something, and she needed someone to transport her child. And he said he was very manipulative, so she never would have suspected it.
Yeah. He was basically like the caregiver.
Yeah.
And he probably made it seem like, hey, don't worry about it. Like, you know, but, I got him. Yeah. And
shout
really,
out to the girlfriend's mom, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where she was like, absolutely not. This is not okay. Normal. Yeah, mm-hmm. This is not normal. So cheers to her.
In my mind, like when I saw that part of it, where it was like Pat Cup calling the girlfriend's house over yeah. and over and over and over and over trying to reach him.
Mm-hmm.
Where in his brain did he find that to be normal behavior? Like you would think someone that calculated would know better.
That was emotion at that point because he's desperate, right? It's desperation because he's losing his star victim, right? He has this girlfriend now and he's spending all this time with her. So he's just like, he's spiraling.
So you think at that point he just had no concept of reality? He was so out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably worried about, he's like, is he talking? Am I going to get busted? Is he moving on? Like, is he outgrowing me this? Like, well, you know, that to me says.
He couldn't control it.
Yeah, spiral. Mm-hmm.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that, it was just earth shattering. I mean, when they asked him to describe the abuse and he said the worst things
that you could ever think of.
I mean, the ultimate compliment to him for coming forth and sharing this story, because it really has the capacity to help other kids.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about that, because we did some research on the subject. And so the first piece is open communication. It's important to have open and honest communication with your children and, you know, encourage them to share concerns or ask questions. That's one thing that I think can be hard for parents, because you're the adult, you want to have boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's, you know, in this day and age, tough, because you want them to be able to come to you, and you need to do it in a way, if you are going to have tough conversations, in a way that's going to make them know that it's okay to come back, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I just had a situation happen to me, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I had the best intentions to communicate, right? And then all of a sudden I'm finding out, like, I didn't do it a certain way. And now I don't want to come back to that person, because I'm like, you know, I'm shut off. Right. I don't know. I'm like, okay, what is the right way to come to you? And that happens all of the time. And if it's like two adults, right, that care about each other, love each other, and we'll get past it. But like, if it's two adults that have that, imagine a kid that's not cognitively able to feel comfortable again. Like,
right.
It's going to be tough. But I think, you know, as parents, we need to think of different ways to create a safe space within the family.
Yeah.
So that they can communicate.
I think, you know, there was just an added layer of complexity here, just because they were child actors. They were like children forced into adult roles. Mm-hmm. So they took on just so much more responsibility. I think that it blurs the lines of kid and adult.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, one of the child actors, she's a mom now, she said, my children will never, ever, ever do TV. And, you know, I wonder how far that message is going to go. And is it going to resonate with a lot of parents? Because if it does, they're going to have a hard time finding anyone to be a child actor anymore. They're going to have to make some laws to protect these children.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that guy, the creep that, molested Drake,
got rehired.
Yes,
at Disney
for with little boys, the Zach and Cody show or whatever.
Yeah,
that is wild.
Yeah, and that's like, do you not have background checks? Like, that is literally a federal offense.
It's, you're working with children. I mean, is that a law? I don't know. Like, did they change that? Did they make it a law that if you're going to work with children, like, I don't think he had a history. Didn't they say something like that? That they. He did
well, I
do
think
it.
He took his word, they said. Like, it was like the other producers of The Suite Life with those, what is it, Cody and
Zach and Cody.
Cody.
Yeah.
that they were like, oh yeah, this happened, but it's all good now.
Yeah.
And they didn't do their due diligence. Like, it was almost like in life, it's who you know. No, it might be who you know, but like, let's get some layers of security in, because you don't know everyone and you don't know creeps. And they are literally crazy enough to make you feel like they're normal.
Right. And so he was so good at manipulating people, he got a bunch of actors to write letters of support for himself.
Yes.
And they said, like, he would never do this, but he never told them the story. I think he said, one of them said, he told them, oh, it was jailbait. It was, you know, it was dangled in front of me. I would never, like, you know, look for this on my own. But like, regardless, if someone told me that was jailbait, I'd be like, no, you're a sick fuck. Like, why? Like, no. Like, that shouldn't even be a thing.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Imagine being Drake Bell. You are finally brave enough to have this person locked up, and you have 41, mm-hmm. and these were well-known actors at the time that had no information. They were manipulated to write those letters, and then they all had to come back to say sorry.
Yeah, and he, did you watch the updated, they had an interview with him after this all aired. They talked about that, and he said he has moved on, but he does not really, he said, I can never get that memory out of my head. And I think he's like, he accepted their apology, but like, not really, you know, like,
I mean, yeah.
So fucked up. Like,
because it's like, how would 41 people know? Mm-hmm. And like, it kind of goes back to like, what I always say is there's always someone that's nice to someone. That doesn't make them a good person.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, if you're evil, you're not going to be evil to every single person you meet. You're going to have your victims.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary.
It's all about the grooming. So, I mean, this was a huge eye-opener. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, my parents never really trusted anyone. We never had sleepovers for that reason. You know, church, whatever. It didn't matter. They're like, they never really gave me a reason, but now I see. I mean, you never really know anyone.
No, you don't. And that goes into the second tip of, you know, teaching your children to create boundaries. Like, they need to know what their personal boundaries are, and we need to teach them what appropriate behavior is. And kids need to be able to recognize and assert their boundaries, and be able to vocalize, you know, what consent is and if it's something that's violating their rights to speak up.
I don't feel like that was something that was so, I mean, like, yeah, our parents told us about like molestation and stranger danger and stuff, but I don't feel like I was ever taught that my voice mattered.
Right.
You know, and I feel like with our children's generation, I feel like that's a huge difference between the two.
Because we just are exposed to more now. Right. Yeah. Like, there wasn't really as many opportunities probably for, and you know, I say this generally, right? But we're just in a different world with technology and, you know, consumption of, you know, different things that, I think it is something that you're absolutely right. Like, we need to now put that into our parenting book to talk about boundaries. And I think also that goes to the next point of safety rules, right? Like, technology, like you talked about it earlier, like there's a really fine line between children and adults. What is that online? How do you monitor that? Mm-hmm. Unless you genuinely have a lot of supervision.
Right. Yeah. And that's the scary thing about, I think, sleepovers nowadays. It was more like taboo to not go to them, you know, in the 90s and stuff. So I was that weird kid. But nowadays, you know, I think we just spoke with someone on the podcast about that. It's very trendy because there's all these new avenues of exposure. Yeah. There's the smartphones, you know, the laptops, even, you know, we had the TVs too. But, you know, how much are these parents watching them? So you can watch them like a hawk, but you let them go over little Susie, little Johnny's house, and their parents is a free for all.
Their parents are working, like,
or they have older siblings that are. You know, I think it's funny to corrupt children. You know, you don't know.
Yeah, I would say unless you really, really know the family,
But do you?
I wouldn't let my child sleep over anywhere.
But that's like a that's like an oxymoron. Do you ever really know anyone unless they're your blood?
Yeah.
You think you know. But do you really? I mean, like this man paraded around like he was just a gay man, blah, blah, blah. But he was a literal pedophile.
Oh, my goodness. This is such a good episode. I'm sure everyone's going back and forth in their heads like, oh, my goodness. Like,
I know. You comment know, below.
It's yeah, comment below. Like, there is no team Celia versus Cammie, but, like, no. This is a lot of, like, really good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing that we can agree on is educating about consent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, children have to be able to, you know, advocate for themselves, assert those boundaries. We need to monitor online activity.
Yeah.
And teach them potential risks. And it's like, that's tough because it's like, you don't want them to see this content. Like, you don't want your child to watch this docuseries. No. But at the same time, like, should right. they? Like, at a certain age, is it appropriate? You know what I mean? Like, how do you teach this? Like, we need a mama. Are you listening? We need a mama with teenagers that has done this with their teenagers to come educate us on how. Like, how do you identify the warning signs of exploitation, of child abuse? Like, how do you have that discussion with your children to protect them? And how do we encourage us, each other as parents, to trust our instincts and to put our foot down? Like, I think we're going to talk about this in an upcoming episode with Moms Across America. Like, do you give a shit or don't you?
Yeah. It's no like half and half. It's like, sometimes you have to be the fucking crazy parent.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like, okay, they're not going to a sleepover, you know, maybe.
Yeah. Like, you are not allowed.
Yeah.
And here's why.
Yeah.
And this is tough. I get it. But mommy cares about you.
Yeah.
And these are the rules.
You know, as they say, kids do better with boundaries than not. So, you know, they'll love you for it eventually. I mean, I read this story once about, a girl, and she went to a sleepover with a bunch of other girls. She was allowed to go to sleepovers when she turned 18. And so when she turned 18, like literally the next day, she had a sleepover booked. She goes to her friend's house for a sleepover. And she was like, yeah, my parents are lame. They never let me go to a sleepover before I turned 18. And then the girls all got silent. And a lot of them started crying. And they said, I wish my parents loved me enough to protect me, because X happened, Y happened. I saw this. I was exposed to that. This guy was creepy with me at someone else's house. Like, literally, as she said, every single woman's teenager had a story. And so she came home and she hugged her parents and she said, thank you for keeping me safe.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lesson learned right there. That's like kind of like going to the trust your instinct as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's tough that, especially now that we're parents, like, I think it's going to be tough to deal with those boundaries of like having your kid be included, but also like having force restrictions when needed based on your own comfort.
Right.
And then it hits the conversation of like control versus, you know, trust.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tricky.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But I think what we can do, because no one's going to be perfect, is, you know, teach them how to report things if things aren't, you know, appropriate, right? Like, let them know who can help them.
From a basic level, from now, this is what we're teaching on Kalina, is basically, we don't keep secrets.
Yeah.
So if someone tries to get you to keep a secret, you come to mommy, daddy immediately.
Yep. That basically wraps us, is creating a supported environment, and having those type of strategies to nurture children so that they have the environment where they know that they can do that. Like, you want to have a positive relationship with your children. You need a positive relationship with your children.
If you haven't watched the docuseries, you need to. And it's not just for it's not just for child stars. It's for
any parent too.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to be a child actor for something like that to happen.
No.
That could happen anywhere.
And it teaches, you know, you to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Even if everyone thinks that everything's okay, it's not. And you know it's not. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know if you got this, but the one thing that I took away from Drake Bell and his, courage is that therapy helps, right? Like he says, like he's been in therapy,
trauma therapy.
I'm sure this, like trauma therapy. I'm sure this was like exposure therapy for him.
Huge amounts of therapy.
Yeah, I took that away from the episode. Yeah. Is like getting your children the help that they need, and sometimes that's not you as a parent.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We can't do it all on our own, right?
No, we can't. So. Yeah, we don't need to say anything else, okay? Yeah. We have, if you have not watched the documentary, watch it.
Comment below.
Comment. What you think. And then outside of that, we have so much coming up in the next couple months. We have so many amazing guests.
So many. We're going to educate the shit out of you guys.
But we need your help, right? We have a couple sharks in the water, if you will, okay? We have sniffed out a couple haters that came on Spotify and gave us a low rating.
Yeah.
Number one, I have a PSA to those people. Why do you care? Right? Like, we are two women, two moms, two full-time employees trying to create a community to help people. If you don't like it, simply
move on.
But like to purposely give us a bad rating. Like, I get it. Like, you do you. It's so high school, though. But so stupid.
So stupid, mean girl. Like,
that has to be mean girls out there. Like, so dumb. Like, what are you doing? The people, just block it. Actually, you know what? If you're going to give us a one-star review, and there's like three of you or four of you out there, like, we see it. Mm-hmm. I want you to tell us who you are and why. I want an explanation why. It can be anonymous. DM us, get a burner account. I want to know why, because what are you doing? Okay. You're not doing anything. You're giving us a negative comment on Spotify.
While you eat your snacks.
Right. While you eat your unorganic snacks. Yeah. Right. Anyways, we need your support to rate specifically on Spotify. Everywhere else is cool. Maybe we shouldn't tell them that, because then haters are going to go to the other.
I know. They're
going
to be like, wow.
But we need your help to rate it. We want you to subscribe it. We want you to write into us. Go to mombesh.com.
So other people can find it.
Yes.
We can help more moms.
I know. That's like mission, all we're doing is just researching this information so you don't have to. And we're learning so much. But the guests we have are just, as you would say, fire. I'm so amped. I'm proud of you for the next couple months. I know. So please, please, please follow us. We have so much coming up. We're so excited to share this with you. Until next time, stay fabulous, mom bitches.
Bye.